For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Drive Pod. It is episode 58. I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan. It's just me and Ryan today. That's about it, so let's just get into it. Ryan, you have anything you want to talk about just to get started here today?
So far this year, I know the big story is the Balls are dead. I think we can all I think we can both agree, it's not really fun to talk about, oh, this guy's like a 120 WRC plus, his OPS is 700, right?
I was looking at, I think it was Mookie Betts' numbers yesterday, and I was like shocked because like, oh, he has an 800 OPS. That's like way below his career average, right? Like his career average OPS is, let's grab that right here. It's 887, right? But he has a 131 WRC plus, which is like basically his career average.
Right.
And his OPS is down 87 points. Part of it is Fenway, but at the same time, like Dodger Stadium isn't like a fucking cavern. I don't know.
For context, like Gallo coming into this game is slashing 202, 317, 382. Very comparable to the 2020 when he struggled, had 87 WRC plus, except his WRC plus coming into the game was 114. Right. Ultimately, whether you are like for or against sticky stuff, or you love home runs or you hate home runs, I think we can all agree like this is excessive. Like the way the balls have been deadened is not like this isn't helping baseball when you I get it. I don't know if strikeouts are necessarily down, but I don't think I'm noticing like a
they are down. They are.
Yeah.
Down.
But do we feel like baseball is like more fun because the balls are dead and there's more contact, but everyone sucks now? Like if you wanted to cut down strikeouts,
I mean, there's definitely more action. So like, that's one way that you could look at it. Right. Is there's more going on. So that's definitely like true.
Or that two seam.
Oh, there goes the Cubs game. No, they're definitely like, there's definitely more action. So if you're like into that, then I guess I can see where you're coming from. But at the same time, like, is it really worth giving up half the home runs that are hit? I don't know.
And then on top, not even just half the home runs that are hit, but like, you know, now we've come into a situation where, you know, you have pitchers who are giving up just absolute nukes. They look like nukes off the bat. They are very much supposed to be gone. And it's a fly out to the right fielder or a fly out to the center fielder or a fly out to the center field or left fielder. You know, it's like you don't really have to make great pitches right now to pitch very well. And that sucks because, you know, you're looking at pitchers or trying, you know, and I think, you know, a lot of us are trying to figure out, you know, what guys are good on your roster, you know, what guys are you looking forward to for next year, you know, stuff like that. And it, like, I don't know if Jameson Taillon's going to sustain being good at baseball when the balls are rejuiced. Like, I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying, like,
but do you think the balls get rejuiced?
Yeah. And it's like, we don't know. Like, the balls could get rejuiced and you and I would never know. And we would only notice when the offense picks up, which.
But also, there's other factors. Like, offense typically starts low.
Yeah. But this has been excessive. Like, this isn't normal low. Do you get what I'm saying?
Right. Definitely not. Why is this so off? I don't know. It's tough. Because, like, on one hand. What the fuck am I looking? Okay. On one hand, like, the offense is down. And so, like, you're looking at these pitcher stats, too. This is the other thing I was looking at the other day. Is, like, the league average ERA this year is 3.84.
It's ridiculous.
Last year was like what, 4.5, 4.27, and then what was the big offense year, 2019? It was 4.5.
Yeah.
It's almost a run a game for each team that's gone. And that's boring. And the, right. The primetime games with the juice balls, like people who bet on sports have been talking about this, who bet on baseball, we're talking about this a lot, actually, where it's like, just hammer the primetime overs, because for some reason, the MLB thinks their product is better when the balls are juiced, but then they de-juice the balls because they want to put the juice balls on national television where there's more eyes watching the game. But at the same time, they want the games that no one's watching to be 2-1, which doesn't make any sense to me other than for financial reasons where they don't want to pay the players as much. And they want to make their stats look worse. Like, yeah, that's true to an extent, but at the same time, like your pitchers are going to have, everyone's going to have a 3 ERA. So then it doesn't really even work in
it's
that.
It's bad. Like, it's just a bad, like, I don't know how one could watch like a Royals, you know, a Royals Tigers game in the middle of April. Like, that sounds like the worst thing to, like, I would not, like, that's an awful baseball game to watch. You're not watching a,
you're
like,
spoiled though.
Yeah, no, I as a Yankee fan, I'm definitely spoiled, but like, you can't tell me watching the Pittsburgh Pirates win a baseball game with zero hits against the Reds is quality. Like, that's not quality baseball.
I had a very fun time watching that game, actually.
I had a fun time making fun of them after, but like, good God, this is like just disgusting baseball. I turned that game on
in the sixth inning, I think, when I got the notification that Hunter Green was like, had the no hitter, right? So I threw the game on just in the background. I mean, like, Hunter Green, I think that's a guy I want to talk about because he's such an interesting player. He throws so hard, but his fastball is fucking horrible. It makes no sense.
Dude, it's because he doesn't get much movement on it. And, you know, like, one thing, and I think we're going to just, like, cite this, and it's very obvious what we're talking, I'm going to be referencing here, but velocity without good pitch shape is a lot different, more, like, it's not,
I would say velocity easy. Without good pitch shape is way worse than good pitch shape without velocity.
Right. And, you know, velocity is a huge factor.
We'll
go with
that at Maxwell Resnick there. Just hates
everyone
that goes under 95.
Look, I think there's a big, like, I think throwing hard is a big part of obviously being good. And Hunter Green, you know, I think the ceiling is very high for him. There's a reason he's a very well-regarded prospect, and his velocity is a huge part of that. But he's got to have he has to either develop like a splitter or a solid changeup, something that he can use, or else he's just going to be a reliever. And, you know, I'm not saying him being a really good reliever is a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, you know, with a guy that talented, you're just like disappointed kind of, or like, kind of like there could have been more, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I think we're seeing this a lot where we're like, baseball is a league that I think more now than before has like those very recognizable stars. It's not niche guys or just, you know, a good player on the Yankees, which is more fun than having like, oh, it's Derek Jeter or A-Rod, Martin Scherzer, the guys I know because they're on the Yankees. It's like, you know, Tatis, Acuna, Otani, Trout is killing the baseball again.
The Angels are so good. I think the Angels, I don't know. They could just be frauds like they have been every other year. But I still don't see them as frauds this year. I don't think they are.
I get it. Yeah, it's like there is something.
And maybe it's like hopeful, just like optimism. And it's like false optimism. But I don't know. They just seem so good. I just can't see a reason why they would be frauds. Because their pitching looks legitimately good this year.
Yeah. At what point does a team that's projected to be a solid team, has a good roster on paper, and gets off and, you know, has great talent, like, at what point does that just come together and work? Like, they can't keep underperforming every single year, right? Like, as much as it's kind of, I don't know if it's funny per se, like, I find it comical, but I don't know if it's like hilarious, but it's like every year they're just a very good roster that just doesn't play well. And it has to work at some point, right? Like, having a healthy Otani, a healthy Trout, Rendon, a good rotation.
That's the problem with the Angels is they haven't had a healthy Rendon and a healthy Otani and a healthy Trout.
Right.
For the past 3 years, it's been Otani was hurt and then Trout was hurt and then Rendon was hurt. I mean, last year was literally just Otani. And now
Otani's. Go ahead.
I think Brandon Marsh is really good. Which adds another level to their offense. And then obviously Taylor Ward. I don't know if I trust him to like keep it up because he's 28 and he's never been good before. But I mean, so far this year, what do you have, a 261 WRC plus? And that's
been ridiculous.
I mean, he's slugging 750.
I obviously he's going to regress. Like we both, I think, can understand that he is not going to remain a, you know, the best hitter of all time. But like the starter right now is probably Syndergaard because he just got shelled. But he's
I mean, I don't know. I think no, their best starter is Ohtani.
And I said worst starter. Did I say I might have said best? I meant worst. But like Patrick Sandoval is dealing. Ohtani has just. I know we were talking about this before, but Ohtani has just become like the best pitching version of himself we've ever seen. And the hitting, the power hasn't been his barrel rate's down 10%. He's not hitting the ball nearly as hard as he did before in terms of just barreling up the ball, or not as before, excuse me, but just in 2021. But like, is a 140 WRC plus or 135 WRC plus Ohtani, while also being maybe the best pitcher in the American League, is that a better version of Ohtani? Like,
I would say, yes.
It feels like, yeah, like I feel like the Angels specifically are going to be fine if Ohtani is a slightly worse hitter, if he's also like, you know, I think you can make a good argument. Yeah. I think Gausman's outpitched him a little bit because I look at ERA at Cy Young's like, okay, your ERA, your FIP, volume, and Gausman's has like the best FIP in baseball, pitches a lot, and I think their ERAs are rather similar. So I'm going to go with Gausman, but in terms of like a really close number second
or something. I don't know. I think right now, this is crazy that I'm saying this, but if I were to give out a Cy Young award in the American League, I'd have a tough time not giving it to Nestor Cortez.
That's a good point.
Because he just, I mean, he hasn't given up runs. He's striking everyone out. Like,
I want to shout out Martin Perez, who has a 2.01 ERA and 2.44 FIP, which is just, I don't understand.
And I know it's early, so these numbers are like, they're skewed. But we were talking about this before. There should not be 28 qualified starters with an ERA under 3.
Right.
And Jose Quintana has a 2.19 ERA. Jose Quintana sucks.
Dude, having a, like, I don't, this is what also baffles me. Having a 3.55 ERA in the American League means having a 98 ERA minus. Dylan Cease's 3.55 ERA is roughly league average American League.
He plays in a pitcher's park.
But like, even last year, like a 3.55 ERA in Chicago is roughly an 80-something ERA minus. Like Monty last year had a 3.8 ERA, and that was the same ERA minus as he does this year at a 3.06. Like that doesn't make sense. Not that it doesn't make sense. Obviously it makes sense. But it's like, God, baseball pitching is just like pitching is just so good, like in general nowadays. Like I feel like, and I think you can definitely attest to this year as a Cubs fan. Like I feel like every team just has like two or three guys they just randomly generate who are like remarkable relievers. Like Scott Efros from the Cubs has like what, a 0% walk rate and like a ridiculous slider.
Part of it is the ball for the Cubs, at least. Part of it is the ball for sure. But I also think they have improved drastically at developing pitchers. I would say, so like just going through the bullpen right now, their bullpen's nuts. Efros has, he has a 1.32 ERA, 1.74 Sierra. Chris Martin has a 1.87 Sierra.
Yeah.
Rowan Wick has a 1.32 ERA. David Robertson gave up one run, he was scoreless for his first 14 innings or something, and they gave up a couple runs the other day. And then Keegan Thompson is a guy who is – the guy I'm the most excited about, as because I think it's super valuable to have a guy who can come in as a reliever and give you, like, every time he comes out, he's throwing at least 2 to 3 innings, sometimes even 4. Last year, he started a few games, got up to 6.
from what I understand, does Thompson not get more rise in his fastball now than before? Because I remember, I know Go Cubs 49 Steve on Twitter.
Okay, maybe he didn't get to six. I remember Thompson throwing like really well last year. He ended up with a 3.38 ERA last year, and then this year he's at 1.67. Like he's one of these guys. Like he came out of nowhere. Like he wasn't really a ranked prospect, but I don't know.
Do you think the Cubs? Wait, go ahead.
Do I think the Cubs
move him to a rotation at any point, or do you think he stays a reliever? You don't think?
I think they keep him as this long reliever who throws like 3-4 innings every time he walks out. Because although the Cubs don't have like high end starting pitching talent, I mean they have two guys who you can make an argument are top 50. I think they're both probably top 50, but I don't know.
I think Stroman's confidently top 50.
Well, no, Stroman's confidently top 30, I think. But then,
yeah,
the question is whether or not you think Hendricks is up there. But
I don't know anymore. But I do like Justin Steele. Like
I think Justin Steele. Steele's problem is he falls apart after three innings every fucking start. He'll throw three shutout innings, nine strikeouts, and then he'll give up seven runs in the fourth. So
also has to limit the walks.
What?
Also has to limit the walks.
His last start, he gave up. He only gave up one earned run over six innings, but he threw like 40 pitches in the fourth inning. Still ended up with 10 Ks and stuff. Like he has a really good like numbers wise, he had a really good start, but it didn't look great. And I know you don't love the eye test and all that, but
for pitchers, I actually really do like it. Like I think not for this guy sucks because look at I watched him pitch, but like in terms of watching a pitcher, like you can see a lot of things that are just like really nice to look at with a pitcher in their fastball or their breaking ball, their changeup, just like marvelous.
No, his pitches looked fine. It was just that, like, in that one really the inning that he got away with stuff. Like, he only gave up one earned run because of an error, so the other stuff wouldn't count as earned, right? I mean, it was only one other run, but like he was like long at bats, like just like 3-2 counts, like you know that whole.
Right.
I think by the end of the year, the Cubs rotation will be. It'll be Stroman and Hendricks, and then it'll be probably Wade Miley because he's looked really good for no reason. And then I want Caleb Killian up. He's 25. He's a 1.57 ERA in AAA, 28 innings. He'll be up eventually this year, I think.
You guys got him in the Bryant trade, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
The only problem he's had is he just hasn't – and I don't know if maybe this is their plan, and I don't hate this plan – with their young pitchers is they're just throwing them four innings every start. But if you have like seven or eight of those guys that are just maybe even less of that, if you have like four or five of those guys, because Hendricks and Stroman are basically you can pencil them in for six innings a start.
Right. And Miley's definitely an innings eater. Like Miley's definitely going to just be there to just throw 100.
I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about in the future. Oh,
right.
Because I don't really give a shit about this year. I put this Cubs game on here because I'm sitting at my desk, but I don't watch the Cubs. Like, they're not worth watching. It's not a fucking watchable product. Especially because Nico Horner's hurt and he's like the only fun guy to watch on this team. And that's obviously an exaggeration, but like,
yeah.
We fucking suck. But I just think when we're good again, and call me a Fairweather fan, I don't give a shit. I'm not wasting my time on this fucking team. But, like, there's certain guys that I will watch the game to watch them pitch. Like, Justin Steele, I watch Justin Steele pitch. And then Alzolay, when he comes back, like, I think he's the guy who can be that three next year behind Stroman and Hendricks because I'm assuming Stroman will be back. I think, like, his contract's weird. It's really weird. I don't remember how exactly.
There are a lot of opt-outs, aren't there? Where it's like, because, like, I know Correa's is like this where it's every year he can opt out.
I think Stroman can too, but I can't see him getting more than $30 million somewhere else. It's not 30. I think it's 25. It's a weird contract. Okay, so it's a two-year deal with a $21 million player option. So it's actually not that weird. So it's 25 this year, 25 next year, and then a 21 player option for the next season after that. So I'm assuming he'll be back next year, right?
Yeah.
And I actually think this could be a quick rebuild if things go right.
You have money, and money makes rebuilds. Like, you just have money. You can buy talent whenever you want to and decide to supplement a young roster.
Right, and we were talking about this earlier. If they fucking trade Contreras, that's like an organizational failure, in my
opinion. Really? You think it's a failure? You don't think if they get, you don't think if a team gives them a good offer that they're not, that they shouldn't bounce on that? Like, I think if they get a good offer, they absolutely should bounce on it.
I think it's an organizational failure.
Really?
Because I think between, okay, you already traded Bryant Rizzo-Baez, like, so you traded your core, right? Contreras, I didn't realize this until, like, I think yesterday I saw something. Because it was his, I think it was his birthday the other day, and so they were like posting like the happy birthday thing. He's 30, okay. It wasn't yesterday; it was 3 days ago. Anyways, he's 30. Yes, he's like getting up there in age, but at the same time, like with the universal DH, and I don't think he's gonna command that much money. I don't think it's gonna be like a. I don't think it'll be a 9-figure deal. You think he gets over like? I don't know. Maybe a 9-figure deal, but it's not.
I don't think it's
not going to be like a 7-year deal. It's going to be probably like a 4 or 5-year deal, probably 20 to 25 AAV. And I'd give him 480 for, I'd even give him like 490.
You don't think though that like one, the Cubs could just trade him and sign him back. I think that's very like the Cubs were linked with Rizzo. That is true. They were linked with him.
I think I don't like banking on that though, because it is so, so hard to find a good catcher.
But you don't think another team would be willing to spend that money on him, knowing that the Cubs aren't a competitive team? They can sell the fact that they are a good team now. Like, come the offseason, I know I'm not certain of this, but I think a team like the Braves, who's always been interested in Contreras, I think they would definitely be saying, hey, we can sell to you that we are a contender. Right, we can sell that to you, and we can give you this a similar amount of money. And the Braves have always been very good at getting players to leave teams. There are plenty of organizations who can like say, "Oh, we can help you with your framing or this or that." Like, I'm not saying that Contreras is not going to want to be a Cub, but like,
then you don't have to worry about it.
But you don't think that the Cubs should try? You don't think the Cubs should be open to moving him? Like, I think they should definitely be open to moving him. I think would be.
Open to moving him, but I think, especially with the 12-team playoffs, this team could make the playoffs next year.
Yeah, they should like be like running to every team and like, please take him off.
Like,
my hands.
We're not talking about the fucking Orioles here. Like,
right?
It's yes, they did trade basically everyone who's good on this team, but at the same time, they spent money this offseason. They got. And the big deal was, for me at least, they got a lot of major league talent back for the guys they traded. They didn't
– yeah.
It wasn't just prospects. Like, when they got Nick Madrigal, who's hurt and not that good, but, like, he's a guy who, like, he's so consistent. Like, there's nothing really to complain about there. Like, he's a solid average second baseman, and that's, like, kind of all you need. And then obviously Nico, like, he's off to a really good start this year, and he was off to a really good start last year. His problem is injuries, although this time it was a fucking umpire. He just ran into an umpire. I don't know. His defense is incredible. And then, like, this offense is not bad. You need to supplement it with pitching, but I think it's really, really hard to find a good catcher. And for that reason, like, you look down the prospects list, it's outfielders, it's pitchers, and it's shortstops. Which is every prospect list, but their catcher who's ranked in the top 15 is Miguel Amaya, who was a top 100 prospect like a year and a half ago, and now he fucking sucks. So, like, and we kind of knew he wasn't good. Like, this wasn't really a question that he was going to fall down the prospect list. Everyone, it's kind of consensus that he's like a bust already, which kind of sucks, but at the same time, like, what are you really going to do about it? Who are you replacing Wilson Contreras with, even whether on the open market or from your own organization?
I can see the point about catchers, you know, not being easy to replace. But again, I think when it comes to Contreras, like, you can definitely be open to trading him and figure out a way to make that work. Like, you know, the Cubs could also just extend him. That is true. But again, who knows? I think the rest of the NL Central, though, you know, the Pirates and Reds have been bad. Reds have been more bad than bad. But, like, we kind of expected both those teams to not be good and not be exciting either.
I mean, the Pirates are better than us, like, record-wise. But I just don't look at that team and see enough talent. Whereas, like, I think with the Cubs currently constructed, there's way more talented players on this roster.
Yeah, I get that. No, for sure. Like, the problem with the Pirates, though,
they don't have – like, I think the Cubs have four guys who you can make a legitimate argument. Like, these are, like, actual good baseball players.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Seiya Suzuki – Ian Happ. Oh, I wasn't even going to say Ian Happ. So that's five. Ian Happ, Wilson Contreras, Marcus Stroman, and Kyle Hendricks.
Would you also group in Nico Horner in that group because he's just such a good defender? Like, there has to be, like...
And then, I mean, like, okay, if you're going to group him in for his defense, can you group Patrick Wisdom in for his?
And like, Wisdom, has he hit well this year? Because I'm...
I mean, he's at, like, 110.
Yeah, like, I would say... I think a 110 WRC plus.
His defense fell off bad. Although, I have to say, this is so stupid. Like, Wisdom's OAA last year, I think he had six of them.
He had a good defense. He had a great defensive season last year. But, like, I would say
four. And now he has negative four. But, like, I don't know. I just think he's obviously, like, he's 31 years old. He's 30 years old. He's in his, second season in the majors. He's not a guy that's going to be here long-term. Like, I don't think it's, like, one of those diamond in the rough situations where they just found someone, you know what I mean? I just can't see that being the case. But, like, if he can hit out this season with a 105, 110 WRC plus, like, I'll take that. Like, that's a solid third baseman, but he's not the guy. I think the guy
at third... solid third baseman.
Donaldson just went yard. What?
Donaldson just went yard as you were talking about, like, Wisdom as a solid third baseman. So I'm just going to have to...
Like, I think the guy going forward for the Cubs at third base is going to be Reggie Preciado. What's his name? Preciado. Reginald Preciado. The guy they got for Darvish from the Padres. He looks great.
That's been a good-looking deal, too, because Darvish they sold high on his value, and he's never, ERA-wise at least, looked like he did in that last year as a Cub.
And then we fleece you guys, because Alcantara is a fucking stud.
Yeah, I think Rizzo's great. Like, Rizzo's been phenomenal for the Yankees. He has been a good hitter this year, and that's, like, and he's a good defender. I know that defensively, the numbers don't love him, but I
don't get that. Base
defensive metrics aren't the best.
Like, I think personally speaking, that the numbers being bad on Rizzo says more about the numbers than it says about him.
And Rizzo just went yard.
Oh, that's
yeah. Thank you for that. But Kevin Alcantara, 123 WRC plus in his first year at A-ball, not a crazy eye striker. I know 28.8% is high. Don't get me wrong, but considering it was 25.8% and 26.2% in his stints at the complex with the Cubs and Yankees. Good athlete. We know he has good wheels. You know he has great power. He's a top 100 prospect type of player. Getting him for a rental, and I think you got another player as well, a pitcher, if I'm not mistaken. I forgot his name.
What's the motherfucker's name? He's not good.
He was good as a Yankee. I liked him.
No, he was – I think he was old.
Yes, he was. He was 24.
I'm blanking on his name.
I'm going to check it now. Alexander Vizcaino. Yeah. I was a solid Vizcaino guy. I think he comes up as a reliever. Like he's got such a good fastball. I know his ERA is high this year, but he gets a lot of strikeouts. He's in his second stint. Like this is really his first time in high A ball. Like he's got a good fastball. He throws hard. I think the Cubs are just going to try to stick him in the bullpen. I really do think this is a guy who can be a good reliever at the major league level. And realistically, I know that relievers are a dime a dozen. But you know, getting a good reliever and a potential like three win outfielder, if not better, right? Like that's a good deal for the Cubs. And I would have taken the flyer on Vizcaino. I really would have. Like I think the stuff is so good that I would have taken that flyer any day of the week, even though he was 24.
I mean, looking up and down this prospect list for the Cubs, I think it's like, oh, there's obviously the top two with Brennan Davis, who has struggled this year, but I'm not worried about him at all. He should be up probably. He'll probably be up in like September or maybe even earlier, but I would assume he'll be up when rosters expand, not just because of that, but also because they can do fucking manipulate his service time. And then Christian Hernandez, who's a fucking beast, but he's just like, he's a kid, he's 18 or whatever. And then, but the other guys I think will be up this year. Caleb Killian will be up this year at some point, I think. And then I think Braylon Marquez, who's fallen down the list as well. He was top two. He was their second best prospect last year. And he's falling. I feel like there's so many guys that they should be excited about, but they're not going to be up for the next at least year. Probably 2023, 2024 is when this team is going to actually look good. And we'll start to see like which players out of this young group are actually promising and which ones aren't. Because like PCA has been incredible in A ball this year, but like what does that really mean? It's A ball, and he's not going to be up until what, 2024?
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're 20 and you're coming off injury and your isolated power is 182, like the big thing that a lot of Mets fans were saying after the trade was, well, you know, he's coming off injury. The power's not going to be there. It's all gone, right? And, you know, people are like, he's going to be like a Brett Gardner. But, like, if the Mets traded Brett Gardner for, like, a career that ends up being Brett Gardner for Javier Baez, the Cubs walk away with that trade feeling phenomenal. If Pete Crow Armstrong,
Brett Gardner is a, what, 13-year-old? MLB vet. That
he ended up posting 40 WAR. Yeah,
he was probably the best left fielder of the entire decade.
In terms of like total like value, yeah, not any single. Like, I mean, he did have a six.
Like he was never Christian Yelich, or he was never.
To be fair, he did have like a 2 year. Like he would have gone on and probably had a much better prime if he didn't get like in 2012. He had like a really bad like season ending injury. After he put up an 11.2 F4 over 2010 to 2011, right. That's the 104 WRC plus. And that was with like a no power and a great on base skills. I think Pete Crow Armstrong, the power coming back in A ball, right? Like if he is a average power guy, right? Like the Cubs are going to feel good because he's supposed to be a really good defender, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. I mean, like it's tough to tell because they don't have metrics on those guys, at least not for the public.
All we have are tools, and he's got a 45 out of 70 grade fielding tools. So they probably.
Well, I think the reason he has such a good fielding tool is he's so fast. Like you can't I feel like they just kind of group speed and defense, which is for an outfielder especially is fair. I don't know. I mean, obviously, like he has a 190 WRC plus. Over the 2 years he's been in A ball, I think he'll get the promotion at some point this year to Double A, and then we'll see. Because that's the big jump, right? That's what they say,
right? I definitely agree with that. I think the biggest jump is Double A. I think that's. I mean,
most of their top prospects are in either Low A or High A. Jordan Wicks is in High A, but he's 22, and he was like a 4 year. I think he was a 4 year college starter. So he'll probably be up within the next couple of years. But I don't know. It's tough to like project a team like this, but I just think what I was getting at earlier before we got off on this tangent was Wilson Contreras, I think is the guy that you out of the four, I would have loved to have kept Bryant. I think he was the best player out of them, but I think,
the contract he got, no one should. You should never have matched that. That contract
he should never have been paid that much.
Right. I would have. No reason.
He got what, 7 years, $180 million.
Yeah.
Like I would have given Rizzo 2 year. What did he get? 2 years, 32. I would have given him that 27 times before I'd give Bryant $26 million a year for 7 years. And Baez is a different story. Like, I don't know. He's tough because he's off to such a shitty start this year, but Baez always does this where it looks like this is the year where he's finally going to be just complete horseshit. And then he turns it on. So, cause it always seems like Baez, he's going to suck. Like nothing about him makes sense for him to be good. Right. but he always ends up with the 115 WRC plus and 20 OAA. And it comes out of nowhere. Like last year when he got to New York, he just went apeshit for no reason.
I mean, overall, I think the conclusion
is baseball's about like, hold on.
Oh, it's dead right now. Yeah, OAA is currently fraught.
Look at this.
Looks like a mess. Or like stat line, just everything from.
Look at this. What is this?
Oh, yeah. I'm saying like everything is messed up right now on Savant. Everything is just terrible. Everything sucks on Savant right now. And it's really unfortunate because I can't write an article really right now because I don't have like StatCast data that's like reliable.
I was gonna write an article today, but I didn't do that. Well, anyway.
Like that always sucks. Like just like Savant is like so usually so reliable, so dependable, and it's just not.
But okay, well, anyways. No, I just think that Contreras is the guy who can stick around. He can be like the veteran leader, as they say. But I think it's important to have a good catcher. Like if you look at all these teams that are good, other than the Astros, but they get away with it because they're fucking
low. And the Yankees at this point. The Yankees have been pretty good with – I mean, Trevino hit a home run today, so, you know.
I mean, most – okay, actually, now that I think about it, most of the teams in the league that are bad, that are good, have shitty catchers.
Some of the Dodgers. The Dodgers are like they have Will Smith and he's
but they have remarkable. they have good everyone. Like they don't have a hole in their roster.
I would say their hole is like the five starter. I don't know.
Gonsolin is not a hole.
Yeah.
The Angels have a good catcher. The Yankees have a shitty catcher. The Mets have a
Stassi's got off to a bad start. Like his first bad start in a while, and this is like the best the Angels have ever been in a while, which is weird. Like basically it's just weird. I don't think there's like a formula with catchers. I think as long as you get production, you get production, right? Like whether it's framing production where you're stealing strikes or you're
I think it depends on the team. And I think with a team like this, you probably want someone who's going to get framing production just because of the guys that we have on this roster, like for pitchers, rely so much on dotting corners. Like if you look at Stroman and Hendricks, but at the same time, like where else are you going to get 120, 125 WRC plus from a catcher? And the other thing that I love so much about Contreras is just doesn't miss games. Like a lot of catchers.
There is value in volume.
A lot of catchers don't play, and especially now with the DH, Contreras hasn't sat. Like, he's either caught or he's DH. And if you give him a four-year deal, maybe he's 34. He's not great. I mean, like, he's not great defensively now, but at least he's a cannon to make up for it to an extent. Like, obviously, framing is more important than throwing, but he can throw, and that there is some value in that. So, I don't know. It's tough for sure, but I think this is the no-brainer. Like, a lot of Cubs fans are like, oh, extend Bryant, extend Rizzo, extend Baez. I'm like, okay, trade those guys. This is the one where I'm like, you have to stick with him because he fits your roster moving forward so perfectly, especially if you're trying to compete within the next two, three years. Like, there's really – what catcher is going to hit the open market that you can get? Like, think of the top 10 catchers in the league. They're probably stuck on the teams that they're on right now, or they're going to regress. And get overpaid. And if you're going to overpay someone, you might as well overpay the guy who's been there for the last 7 years.
I don't know. The Cubs are going to have to answer that question at the deadline. And I think that, you know, a lot of teams have questions to answer at the deadline, right? That's way far down the line in terms of like a season. Like your season in mid-May is different than your season on July 31st.
Yes, to an extent, but there's also certain teams where it's not.
Oh, for sure.
Cup season isn't changing between now and then. We suck now. We are going to suck then. And the whole point of this season is just to get to next season.
For sure. And I think
who we really trust to stick around for the long run. Like who out of these guys who they brought up last year, you know, Wisdom, Ortega, Schwindel, like all these like career minor leaguers who got a chance last year on this team, right? Which ones are actually good and which ones aren't is a question we have to answer. And I think it's getting answered for us because these guys are not playing well. But I don't know.
But there are teams that, like, at the deadline, like, right now, like, their outlook coming into the season versus the deadline is drastically different.
Oh, and definitely. One of those big
teams is the Boston Red Sox. Or, like, they have played really, 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 really bad baseball to start the year. And it's not in the way of, like, last year the Yankees did this. I'm trying to think of other teams. I'm trying to think of teams that just got off to a really bad start. The Braves also got off to pretty, like, they were just meh. They were, like, treading water. The Cardinals got off to start where they were just treading water. But the Red Sox have been bad in a way, yeah, where it's, like, they have just been bad, right?
And, oh, yeah. But yes, they have been horrible.
Yeah.
They have so many guys that I can't write them off yet.
Right. I don't think I remember, like, with the expanded playoffs, right? They are going to be in contention for a playoff spot because of how expanded the playoffs are. However,
I mean, it's one I definitely, they're 13-21. If the season ended today, they're the worst team. They're one of the worst teams in the American League. They're down there with, like, the Tigers and
that is true. Orioles. I'm pretty sure. Well, let me double check on this. Yeah. So they are only, they're only 4.5 games out for a playoff spot. They're 4 back in the loss column for a playoff spot.
From what, Toronto?
Yeah. So, like, am I really too, like, oh, they're done? No. But is this, like, really bad? Yes. And there's a problem where Toronto's played poorly. It's not poorly, but they've been average.
Well, they've been bad compared to what they should be. And they, right. They will, I think they will get going. I have a tough time seeing them struggle this much for the whole year. And so that's, like, you know, that's why, like, the Red Sox brought in Trevor Story to be a guy next to Xander Bogaerts.
And he sucks right now. He's so bad.
Right.
And again, Red Sox,
Trevor Story has not been that good since 2019.
I mean, 2020 was pretty good offensively. Right? He didn't have, like, a 118 WRC plus.
Yeah, he hasn't been good. Like, he had a bad
year. We have 722 plate appearances of him being an average, if not worse, hitter, which is not fun. And with how StatCast OAA has now taken over FanGraphs as the main defensive metric, we have the problem of Trevor Story has been a bad, not a, Trevor Story's defensive value is not the same as it was in years past, which is a problem, right? At second base, he has been, like, at shortstop, this is a problem where, like, last year had good defensive run saves and good UZR. This year
he's been bad this year too. So that's the other thing. Like, he's always been such a DRS merchant. Like,
yeah, this is concerning.
And is this it for Story? Like, is this his, not obviously is this it for him, but, like, is this like, have we seen peak Story and this is what he is now? Like a, you know, 90 to 100 WRC plus hitter who plays average to slightly above average defense at second base. Like, I feel like that might be the guy he is now. And I think this could be a really, really horrible contract for a guy, Heim Bloom, who's never really done anything close to this bad in his career. It seemed like a panic move from the Red Sox from the get-go. I never really liked the deal. I think the general consensus when he signed the deal was that it was too much money. It looks now like it's too much money. And I don't see a way that changes. And so I think for that reason, you kind of have to worry about it, especially for a guy who's moving positions. And, you know, I think the Red Sox were hoping, they were praying that this would be their, you know, this could be the reason why they don't need to extend Bogaerts. But now you need to extend Bogaerts.
Yeah, no, they paid Story in the hopes that they would not have to pay Bogaerts, thinking they would get better value. And as bad as Bogaerts is defensively, I think we can both agree that Xander Bogaerts is a better baseball player than Trevor Story is. There is the level of, there are two factors into this. One, Bogaerts has not sucked. And two, Bogaerts is a pillar of consistency offensively, right? I know Jackson talked a lot about this, before the season, where he's like, you know what you're getting with Bogarts, and that's a big factor as to why Bogarts is so highly touted in the league and why Jackson ranked him very high coming into the season. But there is consistency with Bogarts, and I think giving him at 29, 6 years, $140 million would have been a lot safer than what they gave to Story.
And okay, but 6 years, $140 million, you were not going to sign Xander Bogarts for that price.
You don't think he would have considered it. And do you think
so? I think that's the contract that Javi Baez got. And Bogarts is also weird because he's on a long-term deal, long-term extension already. It's just that he has an opt-out. So does he opt out of the 3 years, 100 and – no, not 3 years, 100. It's what, 3 years, 23, 24, 25 with the vesting option. So 3 years, $60 million that are left on his deal. He's probably going to opt out of that because he's going to get way more than that, especially if he keeps hitting – wait, he's hitting 344. That has to lead the league, right?
I don't know. It definitely doesn't lead the league. I mean, hitting higher than 344.
He's right? Leading the American League.
Yeah. But definitely leading the league, like I was gonna, like immediately into my head, Machado and Hosmer. I know that those two guys have been high batting average dudes.
I mean, Manny Machado has been just so much better than anyone else in the league this year. Like, yes, Trout's been a better hitter, but Machado is, I think, probably been the best player in the league this year, and I don't think it's really close.
He's been ridiculous. Trout, if he played more, might have taken that mantle, but
no, I think Machado, like, it's an even year, even year Machado, it's kind of a thing.
He's the only player in baseball who is, so he is top 10. He's seventh in base running value in BSR. In terms of WRC plus amongst qualified leaders, he's third. Now, this is updated, right? So if this changes after the game, I'm sorry, or after today, I'm sorry, not fine being wrong. And he's also eighth in outs above average. He's just been like at everything you could possibly imagine. And it's not BSRs and like, oh, he's just like a good base runner. He's got six stolen bases as well. Right. So however you slice it, however you look at it,
all right,
he's a ridiculous baseball player.
Oh, for sure. Like he's so good defensively. He's so good offensively, and he's solid on the bases. Like, not just solid, he's actually been elite on the bases this year. Like, I think it's really hard to argue with the guy. Like, if the season ended today, this is the MVP.
Yeah.
And San Diego, even without Tatis, has been just incredible so far this year. Part of it is their pitching. Their pitching is absolutely loaded. Manaea's a stud. Musgrove's a stud. Who else is on this pitching? I mean, obviously Darvish is like solid still, maybe not as good as he used to be, but does he need to be as good as he used to be? Probably not. Like he's a three starter.
Yeah. Their pitching depth is very good. And
they have this, I think this is the reason why I could see this team going super far in the playoffs this year, is not just because of how like good they are, how good their pitching is, but just how deep it is. They have four guys who are like legitimate great starters for sure. Like, really without a shadow of a doubt, with Musgrove, Manaea, Darvish, and then what's his name? Who am I forgetting?
I know. Oh my God.
Well, I mean, obviously they have Clevinger, but Clevinger's not. And then Blake Snell. And so, I mean,
and Mackenzie Gore has been great. Mackenzie Gore is at, 2.42 ERA, average walk rate, good checkout rate, solid quality of contact against, if Mackenzie Gore is your five starter,
have Nick Martinez, who's, he's off to a little bit of a slow start. Like, it's a big adjustment coming. I think he was in Korea or Japan. I think he was in Korea, if I'm not mistaken. He was in, I don't fucking know. Anyways, but like he was off to a good start. He's had good starts and bad starts. He's been inconsistent at best. But I think way too many people wrote off the Padres because they were so bad last year and they just didn't meet expectations. But I think it's too early to say that this team was like, I think they're just a year late. Because last year they were supposed to be like this, you know, this team that was just going to contend with the Dodgers for the NL West title. And that ended up being the Giants instead. But I mean, I think it's tough to argue with a team that has been this good, even without their best player. They're tied for first in the National League West right now with the Dodgers. And that's Tatis is what, a top five player in the league without a doubt.
Yeah. Tatis, if when he gets back, and this is like another thing about the Padres, like they have not been full. Like I think the Yankees, right? Like they just won, and I'm not going to be like the guy who's like, oh, they're going to regress. I mean, that's just how baseball works. But when you stay super healthy, right? Like you're going to play very well and you're a good team, that happens. The Padres haven't necessarily been fully healthy at full strength, and they're playing very well. Like I think they're a shoe-in for the top second, for one, or the first or second half division, unless they pull another situation like last year.
I mean, I don't know. The Giants are tough because the Giants are only a game and a half behind them, and they're injured. I mean, like you can't. I look at that roster. The Giants roster is just it's such a weird roster. Like it's tough to tell what this team is going to be. I mean, obviously, like Brandon Bell is so good. And I think he's a difference maker there. It seems like they just win every game he plays, but he doesn't play that much. I don't know. I think it could be, I think any of those teams could really be like, I think any of those teams could win that division.
I'm going to buy on the Padres to finish second, but the Dodgers to win it because the Dodgers have the Dodgers.
I think I already picked the Padres to win it. They're so good. And obviously you can't like trust Machado and especially Hosmer to keep this up. I think this might be the year Machado wins MVP. Cause it seems like he's been so close so many times. Whether it was 2020, I think he was a finalist, right? He finished top three. And then there were the years in Baltimore, the 2 years in a row where he was a top five finisher for MVP. I think this is the year he wins it because I picked Lindor. He's fucking horrible. But I picked that more as like a joke than anything else.
He slumped like crazy.
I picked him last year, like seriously picked him last year, and then I picked him this year because I picked him last year. So, I don't know. Like, Lindor had a good game yesterday. He homered, right?
Yeah. No, he homered against the Mariners, yeah. And that was yesterday. They didn't play today because of a rainout. And I'm trying to think, did he do something else in that game? I don't think he did anything else from what I remember. He might have had a single or a sac fly, but I know he homered in that game. And I know on top of that, I know that the Mets, I know that was their first series loss, but they've gone off to a great start. I remember, I think I said before the season that the Mets are going to win the division because I said the Braves would. And every time I pick the team to win the NL East, they don't win it. So yeah, that's looking really like, am I right or wrong if I say that I'm going to be wrong about picking the Braves to win the NL East?
I think,
am I right? I guess like, no, making right, but like, I'm right because I told you what was going to happen after.
I don't know, but let's not get into fucking like psychology here, but,
I think this is just genius.
I think with the, okay. So we talked about that. When I was looking at this, okay. The WAR leaders in the league, tied for sixth place in the league, Jeremy Peña. The Houston Astros, farm town. It makes no fucking sense. He's what, 24? He's like, yeah, he was ranked what, 30? Like in the he was ranked in the top 50 prospects in the league, I think. Coming into the year. Maybe. I don't know. But, like, no, he was 98th. But, like, where is this guy coming from?
We? They I mean, he's a good prospect, but they just have a pipeline of just great player development. And I know that this is unrelated, but like, there's just been a post that's like, Zach Davies, former Cub, his wife is like literally like just now this is floating around, but his wife, or now ex-wife, I guess, released that last year he just ghosted her, blocked her after 10 years of being together, and she's now filing divorce papers. So, noted piece of shit, Zach Davies. That's interesting.
What did that have to do with?
I don't know. I literally just found, like, I just saw this. It's like blowing up around now. Like, someone posted it and it's just going wild.
I don't really give a shit. Zach Davies was a fucking scrub. He's still a fucking scrub. I fucking hate that guy.
See, now you can hate him even more. See, now we can.
But now,
can
but hate the him. Problem is, he's actually been. But I guess this kind of has to do with the Astros. Like, I think Brent Strom is. Like, it just makes no sense how good this guy is, his fucking job. He has, like, what does he have? Fucking Madison Bumgarner and Merrill Kelly looking like fucking Cy Young candidates with and Zach Gallen. Like, they have three guys with a sub-2 ERA in their rotation, and then their fourth guy, Zach Davies, is at 3.5.
He's also, like, Brett Strom, I think, is definitely, like, do you think you would vote for him for the Hall of Fame if he ever gets on the back? I think I would. Right? Like, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, are there pitching coaches in the Hall of Fame?
I don't fucking know, but he should be.
He should be.
If there isn't, he should be the first. He is remarkable. Like, he is so good at his job. Like, Zach Gallen, I'm not saying Zach Gallen was, like, not an elite pitcher. Like, not, like there was signs of him being elite, but he never really put it all together to be, like, an elite pitcher. And now he's, like, really become, like, this is a guy who, if fully healthy, he throws 108 innings this year, he's going to finish comfortably in the Cy Young conversation. Not necessarily win it, but comfortably in that conversation. And that's something that you don't really say about him, you know, last year, right? Like, he was always like, oh, he might regress because of high peripherals, right? He's just, I think that he is the best pitching coach of all time type of territory.
I mean, I don't know. It's tough to rank pitching coaches. Like, who was a good pitching coach in the 1950s?
Right. No,
but like,
if there is a best pitching coach of all time, I think it's fair to give it to him. Right. You know,
he's okay. So like, what was that time about Pena? 153 WRC plus. He's been incredible defensively. Good base runner. Like, I think Houston knew what they were doing when they let Correa walk. Cause everyone was like, oh, you know, like, Correa didn't even get that much money. They should have just kept him, like, 3 years, 105. Like, you can pay that. Why pay that?
Right. And Pena has six years of control.
So much better.
Yeah. 6 years of control. Here's the thing. I'm always going to advocate for a team spending. So I would counter that by saying, oh, well, you know, a team should, like, but in this situation, there's no, like, oh, move Correa to short or second, or move Pena to second, or move Correa to third, or whatever.
Yeah, move them to second and third, where you have two top three players at their positions. Like, good luck with that.
So this is one of the rare situations where I'm going to say I'm glad a team didn't spend on a player that was their franchise player. And I, again, usually never really have that take.
I think calling him their franchise player.
Do you don't think he's a franchise icon, at least? I think he's a franchise.
I mean, he's definitely an icon, but I think he's an icon for all the
wrong reasons. I think Altuve is a franchise player.
Yeah. And he's not their best player. Like, I think he's probably the fourth best player on that team now, between Tucker Alvarez and Bregman. But, like, this team, what, they've made six years in a row they've made the ALCS, or five? 5 years in a row?
Yeah.
Because 17, they made it, 18, 19, 20, 21. So that's 5 years in a row. And then 17, 19, and 21, they made the World Series. So technically, this wouldn't be their year to win it if we're going by that, like, pattern. But they're so good.
And, you know, one thing that they do remarkably well, that just they gave Verlander a very aggressive contract when they signed him. I remember saying, you know, if the Yankees couldn't top that offer, like, that's fine because I wouldn't top that offer. They are getting Verlander might opt out of that contract. Like, that's the wildest thing. Like, he's been so good. Framber Valdez, despite the protests of some, right? Framber Valdez has remained a remarkable starter in this league. James, I think you can agree with me here. Not really going to see that change anytime soon because that's what good pitchers do, right?
And then, okay. And they're doing this with the guy who was coming into the season, probably going to be their ace, is on the IL.
Right. And we don't know when he's going to come back. They've had some other, you know, they've had some struggles with the rotation in terms of like figuring out who's going to be in the rotation, but they've coasted through it. Definitely going to be in the market for a start at the deadline. There are definitely guys to go out and get. You don't think they'll be on the market? I think they will.
I mean, I think they'll be on the market, but I don't think they need one.
I think with the Astros, they've shown that just because they don't need something doesn't mean they're not going to go get it. We saw this last year.
This is the thing I love so much about the Astros as an organization is they don't care about, like, they're not stingy at all. As much as, like, they let their franchise player go because they didn't want to pay him, they did it because they had to make a choice whether they were going to trade the guy with 6 years of control or they were going to get the guy with no control who was going to probably walk anyways. And honestly, might not be as, like, obviously still a better player, but for the contract value, like, I think I'd rather have Peña.
Right.
Making literally $600,000 than Correa making $35 million. Especially given the such massive injury concern that comes with Carlos Correa, even as a guy like, yeah, he played a full season last year, but he hadn't done that before that since like 2016.
Yeah, and I think Tyler Mahle just strikes me as like a guy that has always been like good, but never really great. Like in terms of like he's never really been like a Cy Young contender. And the Astros are definitely gonna.
I think he's the guy they would figure out.
Yeah, he would go to the Astros. He's throwing 94-ish this year. He starts throwing 95 as an Astro, 96 almost.
But the other thing is that Brunstrom left. So
true, but they do have like the organizational philosophies are still there. Of like there are definitely things they picked up from Brunstrom. They definitely
did. Oh, for sure. And then the other thing about that is like you have they might be in the market for a starting pitcher. But
they don't need one. They're not desperate for one.
I think you can go into a playoff series with your ace still being Justin Verlander at whatever 39 years old. I mean he's going out he had his worst start of the year. I think it was it yesterday that Justin Verlander pitched? Maybe it was the day before.
No, he had a good start against the Nationals, I believe. It was a bad – his worst start was – he hasn't had really a bad – runs.
His worst start of the year was his last start when he had 5 innings, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts.
Oh, the walk. Okay, yeah, I can see that. Walks, yeah, I don't like walks.
I mean, maybe his worst start was his first start of the year when he threw 5 innings, 3 walks, 7 strikeouts, 1 run. Like, it's – this guy has gone out. He went out 5 starts in a row coming off of Tommy John surgery. Threw 8 innings, 6 innings, 7 innings, 6 2/3, and then 8.
Yeah. You know, Luis Garcia has been a revelation for them. They have gotten great production from Luis Garcia. That's a big step forward. And we saw him at the tail end in that postseason really show up and show out. I know that he was for the first time a full-time starter last year, pitched pretty well. But this year he's been better. Strikeout rates have been better, less walks. That's good to see for him. He's throwing consistently harder. Oda Rizzi had an injury today, but I know did he not? I saw someone say something about like his Achilles. I think he got hurt during his. He only went 5 innings.
Today. He only went 5 innings because the game only went 5 innings.
I swear, like I saw someone.
Maybe got hurt, but he was still in the game when it went into delay, and he went out to pitch the sixth.
All right, so then I guess I must have saw, but still,
a minor injury, but he'll be fine. McCullers will be back. Like, I think you go into a playoff series. Your ace is Verlander. Your second guy is Framber Valdez. And then who's your third guy is Garcia and your fourth guy is McCullers, or even switch those guys?
I would say, yeah, McCullers is a three.
And then Garcia is your four. Like, that's a really, really good four-man rotation for the playoffs.
They realistically, like, you could
and then,
make
– And then you've got Oda Rizzi. You've got Christian Javier – as two guys who could be long relievers, and then they have a loaded bullpen. Like, you know, a couple years ago, it was their pitching that was their downfall when they had the best offense in the league, maybe the best offense of all time. like at least probably top five offense of all time.
Yeah, that was, they were ridiculous.
And their pitching was their downfall. I just don't think that's the case anymore. I think that this team might actually be better than the team that won the World Series in 17 and made it in 19.
I don't know about better. I think that's your ask. Like, I think when I think better than that team, I'm thinking, you know, I don't know. Like, that team is, to me at least, one of the best teams in that of the decade by a decent margin. I think it's tough to top that team. I don't even know if they're better. I don't even know if 2017 was better than 2019 in terms of like overall team.
And that's a tough thing that I've heard people argue about this. I think it was like on TikTok the other day. I don't know why, but I mean, I do know why. But the whole thing is like, you know, would you consider a team that didn't win at all, but was probably a better roster, better than a team that did win at all with a worse roster? And like, if you're ranking the top teams of all time, do they need to have won it all? And that's a question that is tough to answer. And I think that was a basketball argument, which is so much different from baseball. Cause I think
this was very
more random. Like you should win if you're the best team in basketball. You should.
I agree.
Whereas in baseball, like you can excuse losing as the best team because it's so random. You can, you know, like, I don't know. You can lose a game that you should win and you can win a game you should lose more often than the other way around for basketball.
And so
you go ahead.
Yeah. And kind of just wrap up the whole discussion about the Astros, right? They're a machine. They're an organizational machine, a powerhouse year in, year out. They've become a model of success, I think, for a lot of teams. I don't like that they had to tank for 5 years, but if that means never being shitty like that again for an extended period of time, I think every Astros fan in the world would agree they will take it. Their farm isn't necessarily phenomenal, but they just really, they've hit on guys. They don't really miss very much. They don't like draft. They haven't used many high draft picks on guys who haven't been very good.
No, they built through the draft. Like,
yeah.
I think it was the same year they had two top five picks. They took Bregman second and Tucker fifth. And then,
right.
I mean, obviously they got Alvarez for like, what, Josh Fields? They got him for nothing. They got Altuve. They signed him for $10,000. Correa was the number one overall pick. So, yeah, that's one guy who like, yeah, you lucked into him. But you could say the same thing about Bregman and Tucker, I guess. I don't know. They didn't buy this team.
Right.
They spent money here and there. Like they supplemented their roster well. Michael Brantley, great signing. They found Gurriel out of nowhere. He was like 34 as a rookie, and now he's like 38, still tearing up the league. And you know, we were saying like last year it was the seven elite hitters, right? Because they lost George Springer. Because it was eight the year before, the 2019 year, with where it was just eight elite hitters and Martín Maldonado, right? Or was that the year that Maldonado was gone? I don't remember for sure. Because I know there was
Maldonado.
One year, there was like he was on the team for a few years, and then there was one year where he wasn't.
I think the craziest thing they just don't like Maldonado isn't even like the best framer in the world. Like I would think of him like as a worse version of Jose Trevino. And they've just rolled him out year in and year out.
And it doesn't matter. Like, I think the guys like him there clearly because there's no like just looking at the numbers, there's no way that you can justify this guy being your starting catcher, but it works. So it's hard to argue.
Dude, I saw he hit a home run. He had a home run and a hit, and his WRC plus was raised to 16. And they have and they gave him an extension after, I believe, last year, right? From what I understand, like last year he had like BWARP has tended to be like a really good, like really favorable towards catches who are poor hitters. He had a 0.3 BWARP last year, has a negative 0.1 this year, negative 0.1 in 2020, and they just keep bringing the guy back and playing him. And it's not like they haven't had the opportunity to bring a catcher. They could have definitely traded for Tucker Barnhart. They would have absolutely been able to sign, but they just don't.
They want to.
Right. I don't think definitely.
I think there's something to be said about him just like fitting this roster so well that it doesn't fucking matter.
I think there is an aspect of catching that we will never be able to truly understand. And that is a pitch calling. right? And I hope that one day that's quantified so I can understand it better.
But I don't think there's a value. I don't think there's a way. And maybe this is where the next, like, this is the next big thing for analytics.
The problem will be that when by the time we do understand it, it's very likely that framers have died as an art in this sport because of robot umpires. So,
but then maybe pitch callers are the next big thing.
Right. Maybe. But like, I'm just saying, like, we may run out of time to fully understand in the moment. Maybe we do one day in the past, like kind of looking back on it, but Martin Maldonado's value to the Astros, just it's weird because he's bad at baseball.
Maybe he's a guy that we look at like 10 years from now and we're like, this guy was ahead of his time because, and the Astros understood it. Maybe, or maybe he just sucks and they don't care.
That could be, dude, there is, it's kind of hilarious to think about that we may just be overthinking, like they just don't care that he's bad at baseball. Like that's totally possible. He just could be awful at baseball and they're like, okay, we'll deal with it.
Because they don't like they don't have a reason not to deal with it. Like they're winning games. They're actually not just winning games. They won a championship. He wasn't their catcher when they won the championship. It was it Jason Castro? But Jason Castro also sucks. So that's the other thing. Who the fuck was their catcher when they won it all?
I believe it was. No, Chirinos did not have two stints with them. He only had one. I believe the catcher that year.
It was Brian McCann.
Yes, yes. It was because the Yankees traded him for Albert Abreu and another prospect who I can't really remember. I think he was involved in the Gallo trade.
Okay, well, anyways, it was Brian McCann. But like,
and Brian McCann was solid. He's always been a good
framer. They've never really had like a top tier catcher.
Respect Brian McCann.
What?
Respect Brian McCann. Respect him.
But it just doesn't matter. They're so fucking stacked.
Imagine them with like Sean Murphy. Like, I don't even want to. Like, oh, God.
Okay. So we were talking about Wilson Contreras earlier.
They wouldn't.
Would it?
I don't think they would. Offensively, yeah. But like defensively, no. They wouldn't. I don't think they would.
I don't think they would either because their offense doesn't need help. But I think you could make an argument if you put him in there that they might be better than the 2019 offense.
Right. And they might be. I mean, I think that the closest thing we're going to see to the 2019, and I know I'm going to sound like a homer. I really know I am. I think it's the Yankees. I think they are the closest to like best team in baseball, dominant in all facets of the game. They are the Yankees' holes include.
You know, there's a team across the river that doesn't have a hole either.
They have a hole. They very much have a hole. They do not have power hitting. Their offense is not nearly as good as the Yankees' offense is.
They have power hitting. They have a couple guys.
Do they really have like, oh, like, okay. I don't want to make this like the Mets aren't that good, you know, because I think that's stupid. I think people who but the Mets are the 11th best offense in baseball. In WRC plus, and they are one of the worst base running teams in baseball. There,
but their pitching is so good.
Correct. Don't get me wrong, but again, Yankees are first in offensive runs. They have nearly five more offensive runs in second place. They have 13.6 more offensive runs than the Mets do. And then if you look at pitching, the Yankees lead all of baseball in pitching at four. Right, for as good as the Mets pitching is, their bullpen is so bad. Not so bad, but so much worse than their rotation that the Yankees have a full run, almost a full run lead in ERA, better FIP, better XFIP. They're just a better team.
Okay.
They're just the best team in baseball.
Like, obvious. Okay. Yeah, but they're probably not going to end up being the best team in baseball.
According to, like, what's necessarily stopping them from being the best team in baseball?
They're the fucking phenomenal depth. They're going to choke every year like they do every year.
We could say this about the Dodgers 5 years ago, right? They're never going to do this because they're always going to choke. And what ends up happening?
They won it all in a Mickey Mouse season.
Like,
win a real.
I don't really care about how you performed in the postseason years ago. Like, that does not matter to me. Like, the best teams in baseball right now right? Like, I would say in terms of overall talent performance, not just
yeah, overall, but like that's the thing about this is like everyone's a playoff choker until they're not.
Yeah, so I'm not going to consider anyone like, oh, playoff choker can't win the World Series, right? Playoff choker, fool.
I would say, okay, there are. I think it's different with teams than players.
No, I disagree.
I think there are definitely players who are like certified playoff chokers.
Yeah, but like I'm just saying, like the Braves last year were playoff chokers.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like the Braves were like, playoff chokers until they weren't. The
Dodgers playoff chokers until they weren't. The Nationals playoff chokers until they weren't. The Red Sox were just. 2018, they were always very good in the postseason, so I'm not going to say that. Astros hadn't won a World Series since 2017. Cubs, I don't have to say it. Royals.
The Cubs weren't playoff chokers. They were, like...
The chokers.
No, they didn't choke in the playoffs because they didn't make the playoffs.
But they were, like, cursed. Like, people thought they were actually cursed. Like, there was, like, legitimately, like, there was something that helped. Like, there was some divine being preventing them from winning a World Series. And then you have, you know, that Cleveland. Kansas City didn't win for a while. The Giants before 2010 hadn't won in a while.
Yeah, but just because they hadn't won in a while doesn't mean
they're also chokers. They were chokers. They were chokers. 2002, 2003 were choke years. 2002 they had the World Series back. Years
before that's a different roster.
And then they were, but then they were awful after. So like, I'm just saying, like, I don't care that the
Yankees. That's not really what I mean by that. What I mean by playoff chokers is a team like the Yankees, where, you know, every year they come in to the playoffs, they're favorites to win the AL, and they just don't do it.
Yeah, but were the Yankees favorite? I don't think the Yankees were the best team in the American League coming into last year. I think it would have been pretty dumb to say that.
I think you did say that.
No, Astros. I picked the Astros to go to the World Series.
Did you pick you picked the Astros to win the World Series or to go to the World Series this year?
Yeah, and last year.
Or did you pick
the back-to-back year?
Which one of you dumbasses picked the
Twins? I did. Jack, what, you think I would pick the Twins? No. I pick the Astros every single year to win the American League because the Astros
they win the
American. It's a very good bet. Yeah, it's a very good bet.
The American League every year.
And they're very good and they happen to be a very good organization. And I think that they're the least susceptible to variance because they're just a really good organization. They know how to acquire talent and develop it. So I don't think the Yankees were the best team in baseball coming into last year, nor were they the best team in the American League. I think the same thing was, I think they were the best team in the American League in 2020, like coming into the season, and they choked. That was a choke. That was a choke. 2019, they were not the best team coming into the American League. They didn't win their division the year before, and the Astros still existed. 2018, they weren't the best team in the American League. They were close to it. Astros were still better, and the Red Sox ended up being better than them. 2017, no expectations. So, like, I think the idea that the Yankees have come in as, like, the best team in the American League every single year and failed to be that is wrong. I think they've just never put together a good enough roster to be the best team in the American League until this year. And even then, I would say the Blue Jays came into this year as a better roster. So, we'll see there. But, you know, this, I think we're at, I forget how long we've been recording for.
For, like,
an hour. Yeah. So, I guess this is a good point to, like, stop things here. But before we do so, I think I want to lead with like just one parting shot of just surprise, like one player that has surprised me a lot in terms of like I'm not going to pick Manny Machado, obviously. But I think so far we can agree that in terms of like their development and just kind of coming out of nowhere, Kyle Wright of the Braves has just been really good at baseball. And I just wanted to shout him out because he's good at baseball. And I'm going to probably do this every time we record. I'm just going to pick one random guy. He's just good at baseball. It wasn't good the year before.
All right. I'll do the same thing. And then we can make this a thing. Yeah. Dalton Varsho.
Yeah. Dalton Varsho. That's a guy. I love Dalton Varsho.
He's always been weird to me. Cause I always just thought of him as like, he's the weird guy on the Diamondbacks who plays catcher, but also plays the outfield. And now he's good. He has a 125 WRC plus 1.5 F4. Like he's been a guy.
Yeah. And he's probably going to be like,
that's actually not bad.
Yeah, shout out to Diamondbacks as a whole. You know, they've just been solid. Like they're just a solid team.
Right? You know
like,
why?
Brett Strom, baby.
Starting pitching. Baumgartner's like dotting up the Astros. Dotting up the Dodgers right now. I don't know what's going on here. Because Mad Bum was so bad last year, so bad. And everyone thought, oh, his career is over. And look, now he's 1.7 7 ERA, 1.1.
Yeah, but his peripherals stink, so I cannot buy into the bounce back. Sorry, I cannot.
I will buy the bounce back because his peripherals were never that good. I mean, they were like in 2010, but they haven't been good for the past like 6 years, and he's still been like a really good pitcher.
I just hope they're good because I like the Diamondbacks. They're cool. Like, they haven't done anything to me. 2001, I wasn't alive for.
They're a fun team.
Yeah. How can you not root for the Diamondbacks? Unless you're like an AL West fan, I can get that. An NL West fan, but, you know. But yeah, I hope that, you know, I hope that the Diamondbacks keep rolling. That'll wrap things up, though. Thank you guys for sticking around for a long episode. I know that that is, we appreciate you guys listening. And with that being said, you guys know where to follow us. I'm at Ryan Garcia ESM on Twitter. James, I don't remember your Twitter handle, so you're going to have to remind me.
It's just my name.
Oh, so it's just at James Valentinus. If you are a Yankee fan and you follow him, I would not. I'm just joking. But anyways, thank you guys for listening so much, and we'll see you guys in the next episode. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.